Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, as Bob said, we do have open lines right now, and we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number. You can dial it right now. We'll take your question, your problem situation, and point you into the Word of God. There's only one place that we can go to find truth and hope and help in our time of need, and that's to Jesus Christ and to what's revealed about him in the Word of God. So we want to do that today. If you have a question that you're concerned about, an issue that you're struggling with, call us right now, 844-322-2742. You know, there's individual issues. We all have problems of the heart, problems that really upset us deep within. And those can manifest themselves out there in how we deal with one another. And a lot of the social issues that we are seeing today, encountering today, really stem from these problems that we have in our heart.
Yeah.
And how we perceive one another, how we think God perceives us. And that's why it's so important for us to know what the gospel message is, because it's going to reset the stage for us. It's going to really reset the table in such a way that we can bring the gospel to bear on each and every one of those situations that we face in the world today. And as I have said on numerous occasions during this month, the list seems to grow longer.
Yes.
And longer and longer and longer. Today, we're going to take a look at the book of James, James chapter 2, and just read a passage here, which I think is very important for us. It's something that we see happening in the world today. It doesn't matter if you're a school-aged kid, if you're in college, if you're out there in the workplace, or even within family dynamics. You're going to see this attitude being expressed through decisions that people make one toward another. So James writes this, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called?" So we see this out there, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We see favoritism. We see favoritism in our politics. We call it cronyism. We see that in the lobbies. You know, whoever is going to pay the most money is going to garner the most attention from the political candidate and is going to shape his policies moving forward based on that. Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? Because showing favoritism to the moneyed people and not to the unmoneyed people. We see it in churches all the time. We make room and put special places for those that we feel may be able to benefit us financially. See that in fundraising all the time. It's just part of human nature. We see it on the schoolyard. We see it in colleges. We see it just anywhere you are, you're going to see this attitude of favoritism. Well, it's not of God. And what James is saying is this favoritism, this attitude of favoritism, these actions of favoritism produce divisions among us. This was part of what was happening at the Church of Corinth. There were divisions there, and part of those divisions were based on favoritism, the haves and the have-nots. So if you're a have, you're wealthy, you're rich, you think it's because God has shown favor to you in a special way, and the blessings, the material blessings, are a sign of that favor. So you think you're better than the other guy. You think you've lived life right, and that guy who has nothing has lived life wrong. Well, that's not the case. That's just not true. We have to realize that we're all equal at the cross. There is equal footing at the cross of Jesus Christ. Your socioeconomic status is not going to give you a higher place there. Your political power, your prestige in this world, none of that will amount to a hill of beans when it comes to the land around the cross. We have to recognize that this gospel is for all, and whenever anyone receives the gospel, then they receive equal status in the kingdom of God. We're all children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yeah. So what does the gospel teach us? It teaches us to treat people accordingly. Now, a lot of the issues, the social justices that are out there that we want to solve, that we want to rectify, the solution begins right there. Yeah. The fact that we will show no favoritism. It covers all of those, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. I mean, whenever we try to solve these problems in our own strength, we end up with more law and more judgment, more criticism, more everything that we were trying to get rid of in the first place. And it doesn't matter your politics. The conservatives are just as bad at this as the liberals are here in the United States. Politics is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if we would go to Jesus and remove that dividing wall that we talked about before, now you can have a conversation with someone solely because they are a child of God. Or, if they're not, would you like to know Jesus?
That's exactly right.
And now you've got common ground.
That's exactly right. And that's what we have to understand. This gospel is for all people. This isn't just for a select group. This is for all people. God so loved the world. So we have that wonderful opportunity, that wonderful privilege to speak to each and every person in exactly the same way. Because the gospel cuts down below what we see on the surface.
Yeah.
So someone may dress well, but they may be just a mess on the inside. And more than likely, they are a mess on the inside. Wealth and riches do not solve the problems of the human heart. So sometimes it veils those problems. We think we can just use our money to power through. And that's why he says, aren't the poor those who inherit the kingdom of God? Aren't they the ones who are rich in faith? And the reason that's the case is because they can see their real internal problem. They're not masking it with anything on the outside.
They don't have that option.
They're just saying, here it is. And so they're more open to receive the goodness of Jesus Christ. But we have to realize that a part of the problems that exist in this world are rooted in the fact that we don't give equal dignity to all people. Now, human dignity is a big thing. The gospel lifts everyone up and gives dignity to all.
Yes.
Let's act accordingly.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. We're so glad you have joined us on today's edition. We want you to join us by phone. If you have a question or something that you want to pose on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard, I know there are many people that are tuning in that are new to Basic Gospel. We're a privileged group because we have what I call Basic Gospel Nation. Many people scattered all across this country who have been listening, who have been a part of this ministry for a long time. Mm-hmm. But every day, new people tune in. New people are discovering Basic Gospel, and they're interested. They want to know more. Well, if you're in that category, you want to know more about what we teach here at Basic Gospel, I want to encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and click on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace icon at the top of the page. That's a book that I wrote a number of years ago. It chronicles my journey of knowing Christ, how I came to know Christ, what I've learned in the 40-plus years since I've known Jesus Christ, the way of grace, how that's how we live the Christian life, how that is what makes the Christian life work for each and every one of us. So if you want to know more, go to our website, basicgospel.net, click on that icon, get some information about the book. If you find it of interest, I would encourage you to get a copy of it, and that will introduce you to what Basic Gospel is all about. And again, thank you to all of those out there who support Basic Gospel, all of those who are a part of Basic Gospel Nation. We can't bring these broadcasts to listeners all across the United States and the world without your help, without your support, without your partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a heartfelt thanksgiving to you for the great work that you do, so that this story can be told as often as possible to as many people as possible, so that others can get connected to the love of Jesus Christ. So if you would like to join the financial team, all the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net yes. as well. And we would love to have you as a part of Basic Gospel Nation. Well, let's go to our questions for the day. We're going to start in Edmonton, Alberta with our friend Gord.
Hi, this is Brother Gord calling from Edmonton, Alberta. I called you folks before. Question for you deals with evolution and creation. The caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Can you explain that? Because it's not reproducing its own kind. Yet we know the butterfly never reproduces a caterpillar. But how do we understand the creation when it says everything produces its own kind, and all of a sudden a caterpillar becomes a completely different species, becomes a butterfly with wings? Okay, look forward to hearing your answer, and God bless. I am enjoying your program immensely. Bye.
Well, Gord, thanks for that wonderful question. You know, in our day and age, there's a lot of questions about evolution. There are people out there, Christians, who are trying to blend creation with evolution, seeing if there's a way to make those two systems fit. And we have to realize that this doesn't work. And when the Bible says God created, he created. And he created us as we were. So there's the question. So what about evolution? Does evolution exist? Well, it's been observed to exist within the species itself.
Yes.
So you might see some slight changes, some slight altercations within a species, so within that kind. But you have never seen, no one has ever observed evolution from one species into another species, from kind to kind. That just has never happened and never will happen.
Correct.
I think I can be so bold as to make that statement. So there is microevolution, but not macroevolution. So this example, Gord, that you've given about a butterfly, actually, it's just living out its genetics. So it goes through the different stages once it has that cocoon around it, and then the change has occurred and it emerges as a butterfly. It's still the same species.
Yes.
The genetics, the DNA, is exactly the same. So when it reproduces, and that goes through the same process, and it comes out a butterfly. So it's reproducing of its same kind. When I was a biology major at the University of Georgia, spent a lot of time examining and looking at this. So the genetics of a butterfly are the same as that of a caterpillar. It just is going through the stages that DNA is telling it to go through.
Yeah.
And as it emerges with wings, but it's still that same species, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah. In fact, most insects, not most, many insects go through these phases, larva, pupa, and then adult. The difference with a butterfly is it's such a spectacular change.
Yes.
We go from something crawling around eating leaves to something flying, and it's incredibly beautiful. But very many insects go through exactly the same thing. And if you're lucky enough to have either seen it in a lab or find it in nature, you would see that same thing. It just doesn't come out with such spectacular colors and all of that.
Yes, indeed. We used to use the butterfly as an example of this mm-hmm. new creation. So you had the caterpillar, and it goes through this change, and it comes out a brand new creature. And it has great application to the fact that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus,
yes.
but it's limited by its biology. Mm-hmm. And we've had a number of people write to us and say, hey, don't you know that it's still the same creature? this is just what it's programmed
yes.
to do by God. This is the stages in its development. So it's still the same DNA, the same genetics, all of that in that creature. It was like, touche, okay, we get it. we weren't giving it as a biological example. We're just giving it as the stark contrast between a caterpillar that's groundbound to a butterfly that can now fly.
Yes.
And so the caterpillar had an old way of life. The butterfly had a new way of life. And that's the way it is for us. We had an old way of life that was dominated and controlled by sin. The caterpillar was dominated and controlled by gravity. Mm-hmm. But now the butterfly can tap into the law of aerodynamics and soar through the skies. Well, now that we're new creatures in Christ, we have a new way to live. So that was the context of that illustration, never for to prove biology or anything
yeah.
like that. So evolution happens within like kind, but it doesn't happen from like to like. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, Gord, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that, and always good to hear from you. Had a question from Ryan, who wrote to us via email, and Ryan was questioning the actual time he became a Christian, because surrounding that time was a lot of temptations. He gave in to a lot of those temptations. So did it take back then, or did he receive Christ at another time? The fact of the matter, we don't know.
No.
Like, I became a Christian at a church youth camp. Well, I was 12, 13 years of age. Well, after that, that's when all the temptations started knocking at my door.
Yeah.
You know, my hormones started to change and started to course through this body, and I didn't know what to do with them. And then temptations knocked and said, you know, here's something to do. And
here's an idea.
And all these things. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And I would give in. And I would feel guilty. And like, oh, my gosh, did my faith at that youth camp actually take? Was it real? Was it genuine? And finally, I had to come to a point and say, you know, the Lord was there. The Lord made my need known to me. He loved me enough to let me know I needed Jesus. And so I received Jesus, and then I found out why, because I couldn't yeah. handle life and the temptations of life by myself. I couldn't do it on my own, and it was some 8 years later that I learned the way of by grace through faith in Jesus. I tried to do it on my own. I tried to struggle and to win the battle against the desires of the flesh and the temptations of the world. I could not win that battle.
No.
Finally, I turned and said, Lord, you already won the battle, so I'm going to trust you. And that's when things changed. And so, you know, I wondered, was that the time I came to Christ? And then I had to step back and say, no, I never questioned Jesus. I never questioned that he was the answer. I never went away from that, even in the midst of all of my struggles. And Ryan, I'm sure, and I know that's the case with you. So you're just going to have to recognize that you're alive in Jesus today. And that's the good news. I've met people who don't know their birth date. They don't know the day they were born. They were born in war-torn areas, and you know, all of those records were destroyed, and they have no way. And certainly the parents, didn't pay a lot of attention because lots of other things were demanding their attention, just survival. And so what do you say? I mean,
yeah, it doesn't denigrate here. Your humanity.
Right. I'm here.
Yeah, I exist.
I'm alive. I exist. So it's sometimes we're not going to be able to pinpoint the exact moment, the exact hour, the exact minute, and that's okay. But what we do know is that we're alive today in Jesus Christ, and that's exciting. And
yeah,
we have to rest in that wonderful, wonderful truth.
Yeah, this points up the issue we all face. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. At some point in your life, you're going to do something, or you're going to remember something that you did, and Satan's going to point at that behavior and say, how could you? And I'm going to respond to that, how could you, with, oh my, I didn't realize. Maybe I was never real in the first place. As soon as we allow Satan to get our focus onto behavior instead of onto Jesus, he's going to beat us about the head and shoulders with a 2x4 on that behavior. We cannot allow that to happen. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. What do you think he died first for? To deal with the behavior. He was raised again so that we could be born again and have a
right.
new kind of life. And that's where we have to get the strength and the focus. Otherwise, we will fight this battle every day of our lives.
That's right. No need to fight something that's already won. God has called us to rest in the resurrected Jesus, alive, living in us. And he's already whipped sin and death through his death, burial, and resurrection. We can trust him. Walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, Ryan, I hope that helps, and thank you for your email question today. We're going to go quickly to our friend Clay down in Thorndale, Texas. Clay, we've just got about a minute.
Okay, I was going to call this in Wednesday, but it's a subject of God's not a respecter of men's person, and I'll make it real short. Doesn't that term laity or layman or go cross thread with who the new creature in Christ Jesus is? And I hear it everywhere.
Well, certainly through our church history, we have made a division between clergy and laity. And so the clergy are the real people of God. The laity, you know, those are the folks the clergy serves. And that really goes against the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
Because according to the gospel, we all become children of God. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all ministers of the new covenant. We all form up this one singular royal priesthood. We all serve as priests in the kingdom of God. So there's no need for that division. And any place that really draws that line and causes a division between clergy and laity, there's some other things going on, and proceed with caution. So,
yes.
Clay, thank you. Thank you for your great question today. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Today has flown by.
Yes.
I want to talk briefly as we close the program about our wonderful resource we have out this month called Hard Passages. You and I, Richard, addressed 20 of the most confusing passages in the Word of God. We shine the light of the grace of God upon those, and we bring clarity and just simplicity to these answers. And many people have listened, and they've gained assurance, they've gained confidence. We want that for you as well. Go online, order your copy by making a contribution to Basic Gospel this month. All the information is at basicgospel.net, a wonderful resource for you. Now for Greg, for Richard, for Coleman, for Michelle, for Billy, for Stephen, for Vivian, for the entire team. So long from Dallas. We'll see you tomorrow.